Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 23rd, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, the concept of master files. Welcome back to another show. I've got lots of goodies for you today. I'm going to tackle the whole concept of your original photo files and then how that plays out when you work on your various projects. Now, originally, this idea came to me the other day when I was thinking about what I'm going to talk about this week. Was thinking about the slideshow showcase, which is coming up real soon. I mean, we're in the middle of it right now, but in terms of finishing off these presentations and sending them in, and I thought it might be a good idea just to talk about your master files, your original source material, and then how you use that for your various projects, whether it be printing or putting on a website or sending out email, or making your slideshows. Because really, there's kind of a particular workflow here that's very important, and the details of how you do it, kind of up to you, but the concept, I think, applies to all of us, and I want to talk a little bit about the concept today. Before I get into that, though, I just want to remind you that we're in the middle of Slideshow Month. Remember, May Slideshow Month, where the photo assignment for this month and kind of the focus of a lot of our work has to do with making slideshow presentations. And the reason why, of course, because I really believe that slideshow presentations are one of the best ways to show off your work. And so we have this whole thing going. We have a sponsor, Boinx Software, B-O-I-N-X Software, the makers of Photo Magico. And we're working with them to really kind of, shed light on this concept of how to make great slideshows. And, I've been posting tips. I have every couple days I'm trying to post a slideshow tip on the site. So, if you're not going over to thedigitalstory.com every now and then, or you're not subscribing to our RSS feed, which I really recommend you do. I mean, it's the easiest way to get the information. If you subscribe to the feed, then, when I post something, it just shows up. You just get it in your news reader, or if you're using Safari RSS, or however you get your RSS and Atom feeds. So, that's the easiest way. But either way, either subscribing to those feeds or just coming by the site, make sure that you take a look at all those slideshow tips I have going up. I try to put, one or two up a week. And, roll those up into, this project that you're working on. Now, so that being said, let me get back to master files just for, maybe a few minutes. For me, this whole discussion begins with how you capture your photographs. And what I mean by that is that, every digital camera allows you to set the resolution and the quality, and many of them allow you to set a file format. Rather JPEG, some TIFF, not so many anymore. Olympus cameras used to be really big on providing you with a TIFF option, or RAW. And so, regardless of which of those ways that you go, it's very important to keep in mind that with your camera, my advice is always to capture at the highest quality and the highest resolution your camera offers. So if you're a JPEG shooter, then of course, you want high quality and full resolution for all of your JPEG shots. Those are your master files. And if you like to shoot RAW, well then RAW does that automatically. By choosing RAW, you're basically saying, I'm going to get everything out of this camera that this camera can produce. So either way, either RAW or JPEG, but you want to make sure that you have high quality source material. Now, the problem that a lot of people run into around this concept is they say, I don't really want those big files because they're too big for email attachments and they're too big for web pages, and I don't need that much resolution in my slideshows. Well, that may be true for a specific use of those files, okay, but overall, you do want the high-quality source material. And the trick to all of this is that you save your master files in pristine condition, and then you make copies of them one way or another, and I'm going to talk about some of those methods, for the various uses that you have up the road, okay? Master files stay pristine, but you can make copies of them, and with those copies, then you can, you know, make those copies lower resolution, or you can configure them to whatever your needs are for a particular project. Now, this concept also applies to making your slideshows on another level, which is, for example, the final size for your slideshow for submission to the showcase that we're running is basically most people are going to turn in something around 320 by 240, even though you can go up to 400 pixels. And that's mainly because we're serving these on the web. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to design your slideshow or that you should design your slideshow with 320 by 240 files. Okay, slideshows, the concept of slideshows, the same as your original source material. What you want to do is build a slideshow at high resolution, okay, and then after you've finished it, then save a copy of that at a lower resolution so that you always have your master slideshow in basically high definition so that you can do other things with it up the road. You might want to show it on your laptop to a bunch of people. You might want to plug it into a high-definition television. You might want to put it on a DVD. There's all sorts of things that you might want to do with these presentations once you finish them, other than, you know, just putting them on the web, which is usually, you know, at a lower resolution. So I'm going to kind of go over this in a little more detail, both for your still photos and for your slideshow presentations. Let's start with still photos. Now, one of the reasons why I talk a lot about some of these photo management applications that are available now, Adobe Lightroom, which is in beta form for the Mac and will be available in beta form for Windows real soon, Aperture by Apple, iPhoto 6 by Apple. The reason why I like these applications is because if you shoot high resolution with your camera, if you get the most out of your shots, you know, that your camera can produce, and you upload them into these applications, then these applications really help you guard your master files. For example, in Lightroom, when you upload your files, let's say you upload raw files, you shoot raw, and you make adjustments, you know, let's say you make cropping adjustments to that file, Lightroom is not really cropping your original photo. What it's doing is it's applying your instructions, your cropping instructions, in a separate file, and that accompanies your master file, so that when you output that file, let's say that you make a print or you export it for your slideshow, then it applies those instructions to the original file and outputs another file that has those instructions included. So your original file is still there. For instance, you know, if you cropped a photo, let's say you just took out the center part of it in Lightroom and, you know, for a slideshow, and then later on you wanted to go back and you wanted to make a print of everything, you go back to the cropping tool in Lightroom and you'll see that you still have all of your other information there, and you can recrop it a different way, or you can make a duplicate of it, or create another set of instructions, whatever you want to do. Your source photo is fine. It's intact. Same thing with Aperture. Now, iPhoto 6 does this a little different way in that it takes in all your photos that you upload, and if you decide to edit one of them, then it automatically makes a copy of that photo for you and applies those edits. So it actually holds two full versions of that shot. Now, at any time in iPhoto 6, you can go back to your original shot, and you just do this. I think it's under File, and then go, revert to original, and iPhoto will take you back to your original image that's there, you know, intact. So it has a different way of guarding your master images, but it does that for you. Now, for people who don't use photo management applications, a lot of times what they'll do is that they'll take their master images and they'll open them in Photoshop, let's say, apply edits, and then if they remember to, they'll do save as and create another file. Okay, now they, when you do it that way is fine, it works great, but you have to keep track of those two files, and you have to remember which one is the master and which one is the edited one. And remember, if it's a JPEG that you're working on, you know, when you apply edits, then, you know, then the application has to recompress the file, and there sometimes, often, most of the time, is some quality loss by doing that. You might not see it the first time, but over a period of time of editing a file and resaving it, there will be degradation. So when you work in the file system, and this is both in Mac and Windows, and you're managing these files, you have to be very careful that you don't automatically hit save to a file after you edit it and actually apply those instructions to your original file. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is always save as and make sure that you're making a copy of your master file and not applying your editing to the original file. Now, there's kind of a lot of work that goes into this, and a lot of people have devised, you know, a lot of personal ways to deal with it. I know a lot of folks, what they do when they first upload their images from their camera to their computer, they'll have them and they'll put them in a file that's like a master directory, and they won't touch them at all. And they'll either make copies of them right away and have another folder that's like working versions, or they'll upload them again off the camera into a different place that's the working versions. But they will be consciously try to take those files off their camera and put them in a place where they won't be worked on. And then, of course, you know, then you start getting into backup scenarios and all that stuff. Are you going to keep all of your photos on your computer's main hard drive, or are you going to keep copies of them on external drives or burn them to DVD? I think you should do one of those things, right? I think you should do something. The one thing, I've talked about this many times before, you don't want to have all of your photos on your computer's hard drive without having them backed up. That's very, very risky. At some point, that hard drive will crash, and at some point, you'll lose the photos that you don't have backed up. So don't even go down that road. Now, I really like the photo management application software, and all of them. Lightroom is still evolving. It's in beta, but I know the final version will have this too. Aputure definitely has it, and iPhoto has its way of doing it. Allow you to back up your libraries onto different media. iPhoto allows you to back them up onto DVDs, and Aputure lets you back them up onto FireWire drives. And no matter how you do it, just make sure that you back up your files onto something else. Now, again, the cool thing about photo management software, if you're doing those backups within the application, it is saving both your original files, your master files, and it's saving the edited, either the edited instructions or the duplicated photos that have your edits applied. So it's saving both your master files and your edited files. If you're doing this manually, then I think, you know, you've really got to be disciplined about this, because I suggest that you back up both your master files and your edited ones also onto something external. So now it's conceivable, if you're working just in the file system, if you're just doing this manually, that, you know, you have like four, you know, basically four versions of each photo you take. You know, you might have your master files on your computer's hard drive. You might have some of them edited. So you have edited versions on your computer's hard drive. You have your backed up master files somewhere else on an external FireWire drive or a DVD. And then you have your backed up edited versions somewhere else. It's all really kind of crazy, you know, when you come down to it. I mean, this is the part where maybe you go, you know, I don't know if photography is really my thing. I mean, I like taking pictures, but all this, you know, all this backing up and master files and all this stuff, it just sort of makes me crazy. So if you're listening to this and you're starting to think, boy, this makes me crazy, then I would say that you are definitely a prime candidate for a photo management application to help you do this. Okay. So now I want to touch on something else. If you shoot JPEGs, there's a little confusion around, you know, when degradation happens. So for instance, if you have your master files and they are JPEGs, and there's nothing wrong with that. I got a lot of master images that are JPEGs. And you open up the file in Photoshop. You open up the master file and you just look at it, right? Zoom in, zoom out, whatever. But you don't make any edits, such as cropping or levels adjustments or something like that. And then you close the file. Okay. Then you're not losing any information because Photoshop will only recompress, which is, you know, that's when, you know, the loss happens, if you make an edit. So if you just are opening up your images and looking at them and not doing any edits, you're not going to hurt them. There's not going to be any degradation at all. It's only when you apply edits does the application then have to recompress the files. And when it recompresses, then that's when some loss happens. So it's okay. You know what I'm trying to say here? It's okay to look at your master files. Don't, you know, you don't have to get too paranoid. Like, I can't even touch them. I put them in a folder and there they are and there they stay. And if I ever need them, I know they're there. No, you know, you don't have to be that weird. You can look at them and do stuff. Just make sure though, that if you apply edits to them, that you make another version. Okay. So now you can play this out any way that you want. There's all sorts of different ways to do this. And just make sure that you devise something. You just make sure that you devise some method, for protecting your master files. So shoot at high resolution, get as much as you can out of your camera, keep a master version. Those are your negatives, right? Those are your digital negatives. So you want them to be as high as quality possible so that years later, if you need to, you can go back and maybe some new photo application comes out that allows you to do amazing things that you never dreamed of. You want to be able to go back and work on your original source material to do that, you know, to take advantage of that. So save them somewhere. Make sure that they're labeled one way or another master files. You know, they could be in a directory that says master files or whatever. And then, you know, one last tip I have, and then I'm going to get to slideshows for a moment. One last tip I have, I like to keep the same file numbers on all of my images, on all the versions of my images, I should say. So if the master file is, you know, img_5542.jpg, and then I make a copy of it to do some editing, then I would like that one to be, you know, let's say version1_5542.jpg, and keep that 5542 number in there. You can change the rest of the file name, but, you know, later on, if you're doing some work, and let's say you're working on a slideshow. Wow, I wonder why I picked that example. Let's say you're working on a slideshow, and you know, you had worked with a version of a shot, you had cropped it, let's say, and applied some image stuff, and, you know, maybe scaled it down a little bit, you know, stuff like that, made it smaller. And then you're working on your slideshow, and you go, you know, I'd really like to use this picture to zoom in on. I want to zoom in on, let's say it's a wedding shot of your mom and dad, and you want to zoom in on the, you know, your mom and dad getting remarried. Not the first time around, right? Not the first time around. Or it could be that you scanned a version of their first wedding and you're using it in a family history slideshow. How did I get into that mess there? Anyway, so you want to zoom in on your mom's hand and show the wedding ring. Okay. And so the version that you're working with is a scaled down version. And so you don't really have enough resolution to use the zoom controls in Photomagico or iPhoto 6, whatever you're using. And you need to go back and get that original high resolution image so that you have enough image information to do a zoom. And I wrote a post about this, about zooming, is that, you know, remember, if you're zooming in on a photo, you want to have high quality all the way in as you zoom. So that photo has to be higher resolution than the rest of the shots in your slideshow. Well, now you have to go back and find the original version of this photo. Now, if you keep the file numbering the same, right, 5422, something like that, right, and that's your working file and that's what it says, then all you have to do is go back to your master's folder and search on that file number, and you'll be able to find that original photo. Make a copy of it, even though it might be a full high-resolution copy, make a copy of it, and then bring that into your slideshow so that you've got enough image information to do a zoom. See how fast that goes if you have a little bit of organization? But if you didn't keep the 5422 number in the file name of your working photo in your slideshow, you might have a hard time going back and finding that master file. So little things like this, a little bit of planning ahead, really helps when you're in the middle of your projects. And if you're anything like me, when you're in the middle of a project, you really don't want to be irritated. You know, you really don't want to be aggravated because, you're feeling the creative juices and you've got an idea and you just want to execute it and see how it looks and you don't have a whole lot of time and you're going great guns and you go, oh man, I need the master photo for that. Okay. All right. So you just go and then suddenly you can't find it and you go, oh man, I got to find this thing, you know, and you're all frustrated. And then the next thing you know, you lose the moment and then the whole thing just goes kablooey and you have to, you know, go take a walk or something because you get yourself all frustrated and you don't finish the show. You don't want that to happen to you. That's a bad thing. So a little bit of organization ahead of time will help prevent those types of scenarios. Now, I want to apply this concept a little bit to slideshows. And by the way, it applies to movie making too, for those of you who like to shoot digital video. When you're building your original slideshow, your original presentation, okay, and even though you know that the first place you're going to use it, maybe it will have a scaled down output, such as the submission for the Digital Stories slideshow showcase, sponsored by Photomagico. Even though you know that the original or the next output that you're going to be is going to be scaled down, you don't want to work in a scaled down format while you're building your original show. I actually like to work in at least 800 by 600 for my images, you know, so that my final slideshow is 800 by 600. And now with high definition, you even want to kick that up a little bit more. You might want to look at the requirements for, you know, the TV, the high definition TV or the monitor that you want to show it on. I'm using a 17-inch PowerBook right now to show a lot of stuff. And it has a resolution of 1440 by 900. If I wanted to show something full screen on that, then I would want that much resolution in my slideshow, 1440 by 900. Okay. Now, the first place I might use that slideshow might be on the digital story where it only shows at 320 by 240. But I want to have that master version so that I can show it full frame on my laptop or anywhere else that I might use it. So when you're thinking about how big to make the images that you put into your slideshow, Think about the biggest size that you'll think you'll need. Design your slideshow with those images. Once you have your slideshow complete, then you export a version out. You use the export command and export a version for the digital storage, or you export a version of it for your iPod video, or you export a version of it for a DVD at standard definition, which would then only be, 640 by 480. Okay, so, but you keep your master version safe and sound. So your master version of your slideshow is going to be like the master version of your photographs. It is the pristine thing that you can always go back to, and then you can make copies of it for the different uses that you want. And I'll tell you, you can't always anticipate what you might want to use it for in the future. So, and you also, you may want to go back and re-edit it. You may want to go back and change it. Let's say that you make your slideshow and you like it a lot and you submit it and it does really well and you're happy with it. But then, 6 months later, you watch it again, you go, I really like this slideshow I made, but there's always this one little thing that bugs me, So then you can go back to your master slideshow, make the changes that eliminate the things that have been bugging you, then export a new version out that you can show on your laptop or burn to DVD or submit to the next showcase, and off you go. So you have that master always to go back to. So the concept of master files, I think, is a really important one. And I know that when you're working in with high-resolution source material, as a lot of us are, the still photos from your camera or high-resolution slideshows, I know it takes up a lot of disk space. And disk space, for me, disk space is the one annoying thing in computing right now. Well, actually, there's a lot of annoying things in computing, aren't there? But it's the one that seems to annoy me most often, I should say. Because I'm always running out of it. My hard drive's always filling up. I'm always having to offload it. I'm always having to get backup drives. Seems like every time I turn around, I need to get a new backup drive or something. Well, I'm annoyed a lot about disk space because I do work in high resolution, and I do keep master files, and I do, back them up, and I do all that sort of stuff. So even though I'm annoyed, I'm backed up. And even though I'm annoyed, I can always go back and work on my and work with my original material. So I have my negatives safe and sound. And then, just to add a little perspective on this, if you think about it, if you were working in the paper photo world where you had prints of everything and you had negatives of everything, and how well did you, keep track of that stuff? And how quickly could you go back and find it? And how much space did it take up in your closet? So, relative to the way that it was, when I'm talking about, even though it's annoying, it's not as annoying as, what we've been through in the past. And in fact, what we went through in the past was so annoying that most of us didn't even do it. And so if you have to go back and find a 10-year-old slide right now, I bet you a lot of us couldn't do it. Or we could, but it'd be like an all-afternoon thing with, stuff spread out all over the room before we finally found it. So, it is still better than it was. So I hope this kind of gets you thinking about your approach to managing all this. I'm sure you are right now, a lot of you. And if you are, then I just want to encourage you to keep doing it. Stay disciplined. Protect your source material. You never know. A shot that might not mean anything to you right now, 5 years from now, could mean the world to you. So make sure that you can find it, and make sure that when you find it, it's in great shape so that you can do whatever you need to do with it. And we're on the home stretch now for the slideshow. Remember, you have to have your final product ready to go by June 15th. And as soon as you have some idea of what you're going to submit, you need to send me that submit form. And I'll have those links again in the show notes for this show And whenever I do a slideshow tip or anything, I always have all that information at the end of the tip. So you can find any of the slideshow tips and know how to submit to the show. You just have this little nice little web form that's really easy to fill out. And send that in. And I really encourage you to see this one through. I know it's a little bit of work. I know actually it's a lot of work, but it's exciting, and I think we're going to really feel good about the final product that we have. And one other thing, I just got to mention Grab Shots real quick. They actually have slowed down a little bit, and part of that could be my fault, because I haven't been publishing quite as many because we have all this other stuff going on, although I'm still trying to get one or two posted a week. So don't let my temporarily slowing down on publishing them slow you down on sending them in. Keep sending them in, and I'll get to them as soon as I can. And when I put one up, I always try to send you a note that, hey, your shot's on top of a digital story right now. Hope you have a chance to go look at it. But let's keep those going even while we're in the middle of this big project. And as always, it's been great hanging with you for half an hour here. We've got lots to do. I hope you have some time to do it, and I'll see you next week. Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.